books, marketing, burning stubby coolers, and high touch. G'day there, my name's Dino Power, and welcome to this edition, number 9, of the TEDx Byron Bay podcast. Our guest today embodies the TEDx Byron Bay tagline, Step Up to Shine. As you'll hear a bit later, she went from being sacked to setting up her own promotions company to publishing a book and now running 5 of her own companies. She's been a finalist in the Telstra Businesswoman of the Year finals 3 times and has a boatload of other honours to her name. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about TEDx Byron Bay. It's going to be happening on the 31st of July 2010, and like all of the TEDx events that happen around the world, it takes its inspiration and guidance from the TED organisation. Now, if you've ever seen any of the TED videos on the internet, you will know that the TED conference is all about technology, entertainment and design. Once a year for the last 25 years, a crowd has gathered in California to listen to some of the best minds from around the world share their ideas in a collaborative environment under the banner Ideas Worth Sharing. Now, our guest today, I'm sure, would feel quite comfortable with the mantle of being an ideas woman. But you know what? She's also an action woman. Lisa Messenger not only likes big ideas, she likes to get things done. So much so that she's formed 5 companies dealing with a range of marketing, promotion and publishing activities. I caught up with Lisa a little bit earlier on today. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem, Dino.
Lisa, let me start by asking you, do you have a favourite TED moment?
Yeah, look, I was thinking about this question and there are just so many, I guess. People are constantly, you know, sending through TED videos and things. But I guess some of my favourites, there's a guy called Chip Connelly who owns a big hotel chain in California called Joe DeVry. I think that's how you pronounce it. And he talks about measuring what makes life worthwhile. And Chip is an amazing guy, and he's someone who I've been fortunate enough to meet. And he also ended up writing a foreword for one of my personal books. So that was just a really amazing thing to watch. He's just an extraordinary guy. And I actually watched one from Richard Branson the other day, who's just one of my all-time heroes. And I have to say, I was a little bit envious having, being about to speak at TED in Byron Bay. Richard actually got to sit on a couch and have an interview, which I thought was actually really lovely. And I thought, I've got to stand up there with no notes. No, but I really enjoyed his interview as well. I could go on and on. There are so many fantastic ones.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I've interviewed, I think it's 10 people now, and asked them the same question. And the Chip Connelly one is the first one that I've actually seen. So it is,
yeah, right.
It's a wonderful video. And yeah, it's really gives you pause to think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Lisa, you've got a bio that is just encyclopedic. There's so many honours that you've achieved and so many different things that you've been involved with. But two sort of central themes in your success have been publishing, writing books and marketing. So
yes.
Do you most describe yourself as a writer or a marketer, or do you take the middle ground and go for a creative or something like along those lines?
Well, I might answer that in a couple of ways. I still laugh when people say, do you consider yourself a writer? I've actually co-authored and authored 13 books now, but I do laugh because I still really don't think of myself as a writer all these years later, which is kind of funny, but I go back to my school days when I actually did Veggie English. So, you know, I guess that's proof that anything's kind of possible. And with regards to the question about, you know, am I a marketer or am I a publisher, at the end of the day, I'm a marketer, but what we do is we create books for people to use as marketing tools. So I now have the Messenger Group, which comprises 5 companies, which are basically all to do with marketing and publishing.
Wow.
So yeah, kind of busy.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So each of the companies follows a different kind of strand?
So one is a marketing company, and that's kind of integrated marketing, goes across, you know, communications and PR and helping people to build brands. And then we have Messenger Publishing, which is all about producing books as marketing tools. We've got Messenger Print Brokerage, which is so many people just were coming to me all the time saying, hey, I hear you print offshore, I hear you've got all these great print contacts. So we actually developed a company around that. And then we've got Messenger Interactive, which is a digital, social, and online medium. They all kind of leverage from each other. And then we've got Messenger Magazines, which produces in-house magazines for corporations. So, yeah, it's really good. And then I write my own books as well on the side when I get time.
Yeah. Well, that sort of brings me to my next question, which is, you know, you weren't always the owner of five companies. You've got to start somewhere along the line, and I believe it was by writing a book to raise some funds for a helpline. Is that right?
Yeah, for Kids Helpline. Yeah, it absolutely was, and that's why, I mean, I still do laugh because I really did never think I would be a writer, let alone a publisher. And so I guess my biggest message there is, you know, just stay open to opportunities, and really anything is possible and anything can happen. But what happened is pretty much I got fired from a job about 9 years ago. I mean, I'm still great friends with the managing director there, funnily enough. But I was just so kind of tenacious, and I always wanted to have my own business. And quite frankly, I was probably a pain in the butt working for someone else. And that was for a big sponsorship company. So I was brokering sponsorship deals for Cirque du Soleil and the Wiggles and Barry Humphries and lots of fun stuff like that, and kind of brokering multi-million-dollar deals. And that's really where I learned to think differently. And then I started in October 2001 Messenger Marketing, and I actually started as a sponsorship agency. But it was just after September 11, and I think it's the only time I've seen my father cry. He said, oh, my God, what are you doing, you know, in this climate? And so I actually then realized that, you know, the market had kind of dried up a bit. People didn't necessarily want to part with sponsorship dollars. So I kind of morphed into an integrated marketing company, not very successfully. I was kind of being everything to everyone and undercharging and overservicing. And, you know, I had a turnover of about $50,000 a year, I think. I don't know how I survived. And then I decided that I really wanted to create a product of my own and put something beautiful into the marketplace. And I had no concept of publishing. The extent of my knowledge was a one-day self-publishing workshop and a one-day publishing workshop. But what I realized was I had the marketing acumen to carry it off. And that's when I produced Happiness Is, which was my first book, and decided to self-publish. And for a whole lot of reasons, if you go with a traditional publisher in Australia, 5,000 is a bestseller, and 1 out of 4,000 unsolicited manuscripts actually make it to a published book, and like 80% of books get pulped. It's quite a hideous sort of statistic, and I really wanted to test my skills and get it out there in a big way. So yeah, what I didn't count on was the price tag, which was $86,000, and had about 800 yeah, quite a lot of money, and I had about $800 to my name at the time. So I just had to think really laterally and kind of applied my sponsorship and marketing skills, and went out to corporates and basically pre-sold the book based on, you know, 6 pages of indicative spreads, and said, this is what it's going to look like. Are you interested in buying them as like a premium incentive, gift and reward, rather than inanimate objects like coffee mugs and things, and golf umbrellas and squidgy balls that corporates love to produce? Mm. And it kind of worked. So that's where the whole sort of publishing empire, well, it's not quite an empire yet, we're getting there. That's kind of where it all began.
I think anyone who has published 13 books can start to throw the empire word around.
Well, we've published a lot more. We've actually published over 200 for other people now, but yes, but myself, I like to test lots of genres now, so I would never recommend anyone else does this, but I like to have a play in lots of different industries. So my first one was on happiness, and then I wrote a business book because I was so frustrated with, you know, corporations and things. So that was called Cubicle Commando, and it was all about, well, it was aimed at entrepreneurs, so internal entrepreneurs, and how they could kind of, you know, push forward within the confines of a dirty big corporation.
Wow.
And then I got frustrated with the publishing industry, so I wrote a book on how to market books, essentially. And then 2 years ago, I took up surfing, so I wrote a surf series. So, yeah, so it's fun. It enables me to explore lots of different genres and markets and opportunities, and that way we can, you know, we can make all the mistakes before we do it with our clients, hopefully. that's the plan anyway.
Right, so that's the formula. Do something in life, then write a book about it, and then sell the expertise to somebody else.
Well, do you know what? The Surf Books actually did one, Learn to Surf Byron Bay as well, but that was a really interesting model because literally I knew nothing and no one about surfing, you know. At the age of, 37, I jumped on my first ever surfboard. And I just was a bit frustrated because there weren't many books out there on surfing. And so I thought, well, there's a gap in the market. And then I just started meeting with people like Surfing Australia and Surf Life Saving and the Cancer Council and everyone that I thought might know anything about surfing. And we actually ended up with 213 funding and distribution partners within a period of 4 months. And, you know, so I think you don't necessarily need to know your topic. You need to be really clever and find a gap in the market. Mm. So, yeah. But having said that, I believe people do need to produce books that are going to help them build their brand and help, you know, them as, that will help the market and help, you know, make whatever they're trying to do explode, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we had a woman come to us who wanted to write a book on cupcakes, and I said, well, that's great, but do you want to be the cupcake queen, or, you know, do you have bigger plans for that? She said, no, I just like cupcakes. And I said, well, it really doesn't do it for me. You know, you have to. There has to be a bigger picture and a bigger goal, I think, with everything that you write. Mm.
So many of our speakers are talking, or they have a theme that's around social entrepreneurship. Do you see books as an avenue to help those bigger social causes?
Oh, absolutely. Look, my real passion is about using books as tools of engagement. So really helping companies to engage with their staff or communities or, you know, all different stakeholders. And I think that books, you know, are an amazing way from a social platform to get messages out there. Also, you know, as an additional fundraising tool. My talk actually at TED is all about moving from high tech to high touch. You know, there's so much hype about everything and online and digital. And I just think, you know, from a philanthropic sort of perspective, and yeah, the books really enable you to get a lot of really amazing messages out there.
Mm. That's an interesting point that you make there. Do you feel that that the world post-GFC, people are looking for greater authenticity and that sort of high touch element in the market?
I think so. I mean, there's, you know, of course, most of the books we do have, you know, an online digital social element as well. And, you know, we leverage off the back of the books in order to do that and create content across multiple platforms. But I really believe the feedback we're getting is that whilst there's a lot of hype around all of that, there's kind of nothing like the tangible feel of a book, you know? And, yeah, and so that's what we're trying to do. And also it works really well because, I mean, we just did a deal a few weeks ago with a cookbook where we sold 50,000 copies into Energy Australia, which is, you know, a phenomenal deal. Mm. But something like Energy Australia, they're really selling an intangible, you know, they're selling electricity or energy, something that you don't really see.
Yes.
But the book actually is a beautiful cookbook, and it gives them an opportunity to engage with their stakeholders and, you know, say and gift it to them and say, look, this is what we're all about. Take this and use our energy to cook and create something beautiful. So that's where I'm kind of passionate about creating amazing content that actually does engage and sort of change people's lives. I get so, not saying a cookbook necessarily changes someone's lives, but it does have certain touch points. But I get so frustrated seeing the amount of money thrown around by corporates really for inanimate objects, you know, and they often don't think about their spend, and it doesn't actually have intrinsic meaning a lot of the time. So I think that's where books really, you know, play quite a big part.
Bad news for stubby cooler manufacturers then.
Goddamn stubby coolers. Don't even start me. Although I get into trouble sometimes because you know, I know a lot of people who do own promotional merchandising companies, and yeah, I go off on my bandwagon about it all. I don't know, it just frustrates me. If it costs the same amount to produce a beautiful book that engages, then yeah, goodbye, stubby holders. Be gone.
Yeah, I think we've got bigger challenges to face in the world than keeping our beers cold.
Yeah. Although, you know, each to their own, I suppose. Don't want to alienate anyone, do we?
I'm sure we've all enjoyed a nice cold beer. So there was a really big step-up point for you with your first book, and the theme of TEDx Byron Bay is Step Up to Shine.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone that's in the same position as you were, you know, $800 in the bank, needing $86,000? It's obviously a big step up that you need to make.
Yeah.
What would your advice be to someone in that situation?
Look, I just think if you have passion, you know, then anything will follow. Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of the time it's really knowing what we want. And I think once you have a really clear vision about what it is that you want, then there's absolutely no problem in achieving it. Once I, you know, woke up one day and I went, I want to do a book on happiness, really I knew nothing about it. But what I did do was I surrounded myself with a fantastic team who did know what they were doing. And then because I was so passionate, I just started banging on doors and you know, selling my concept and idea. And it was extraordinary, you know, what happened in terms of synchronicity and serendipity and the people that I suddenly found myself surrounded with. So much so that a guy called Arnott Olsen, who used to be on Popstars at the time, and he was a supporter of Kids Helpline, and they said, oh, can you put Arnott in the book? And I said, sure. And I went and did a photo shoot with him, and he rang me the next morning and started singing. And he'd written, he was so inspired by the concept that he wrote this song called Happiness Is. And it was just beautiful. So we ended up going around the country and doing a speaking, singing kind of a duo.
Nice.
About the book. Yeah. And so I think you just got to really nail down what is your dream and then just follow it wholeheartedly, you know. The amount of people I meet in this industry, you know, they just, I don't know, that maybe they don't have the tenacity to actually be able to sell themselves. You know, some of the people we work with are the most amazing speakers, or, you know, they run the most amazing corporations. But when it actually comes to, you know, getting their own product out there, they kind of are sometimes going to a little ball and say, oh, but I don't know that I can do that. You've got to commit 100%, you know, and you've got to back yourself, and then I think other people will.
Mm. Well, that's a good message.
Mm.
This always happens. We're running out of time.
But
people can hear lots more of you at the TEDx Byron Bay conference, of course.
Yes.
For those not attending the event who've heard what you've had to say today and would like to know more, is there maybe a couple of places that they can find you online?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they can go to my website, which is www.themessengergroup.com.au, or they can on Facebook, Lisa Messenger or The Messenger Group, or they can call my office, and it's best to speak to my EA, who's Claire Livingston, and the number is 02-9699-7216. And I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, and, you know, we're out there.
Yeah, great. That's so very good. Well, Lisa, look, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to seeing you in Byron Bay. Are there any parting words of wisdom that you'd like to leave us with?
Gosh, Dino, now you put me on the spot. Look, I think just, you know, have a belief that anything is possible, and I think also that there is truly always more than one way to do anything.
Wonderful. Wise words and deeds. Thank you so much, and we'll see you very soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Dino.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Lisa Messenger. Now, I'm just wondering, is she going to go ahead and write a book about this? Because it seems to me that she is able to create a book at the drop of a hat. Amazing lady. And she's one of a cast of amazing speakers that are going to be speaking at TEDx Byron Bay this weekend. If you're not yet convinced about the greatness of our speaking lineup, then I'd suggest go back and look at the podcast series. Listen to some of the speakers that have come before, because we've had some cracking interviews, some real nuggets, some great stuff shared by each of our speakers. And I've been wondering, if that's what they're sharing in the podcast, what are they going to be sharing when they get on stage at TEDx Byron Bay? Now, there's at least half a dozen ways to subscribe to this podcast, but I'm going to give you three easy ones. Number one, go to iTunes and do a search for TEDx Byron Bay, and you'll find our podcast. It's a great way to subscribe, and that way you can take the podcast with you on your phone, on your iPhone, on your laptop, on your iPad, whatever it might be. Another way, subscribe at the TEDx website. So that's TEDxByronBay.com. It's all one word, and by subscribing to the feed there, you'll get the podcast. The third very simple way to make sure you don't miss a podcast is just to like the TEDx Byron Bay page on Facebook. So that's just facebook.com/TEDxByronBay. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've loved bringing you this interview. And until the next TEDx Byron Bay podcast, remember, ideas become things that shape the world.